Hey, this is John Gruden, Super Bowl 37 champion, listening to the Jim Bob Show. Come join me.
We went ahead and made a commitment to the Bears and ponied up and got the suite. It's been a big disappointment.
Well, you're a hard guy to please. Don't forget that. You're a hard guy to please.
Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome. Oh,
and
that's
then,
it.
How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about, you love that one, huh?
Half the coaches in the league. The Mondays were the worst. And that's when you really got tested, when you came off a tough loss. You got into the office on Monday. You found out two more players were hurt. You didn't realize. The sky's always fallen in the NFL on Mondays.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, it,
why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah,
I know.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio. It is the Jim Bob Show, game day edition, heard here and on great stations all around the country, and checking in from his palatial seaside estate, the one and only Jim Bob Morris. Jim Bob, it's the weekend.
Good weekend, Mr. Dane, the official braggart. How are you, buddy? I need you down here doing some braggart work for me, but you're correct. We're down here on the sunny shores of the palatial Jim Bob Largo, as you mentioned, when you do your braggadocious stuff. And I've got some friends down here visiting, and we've been enjoying the sunshine and the NCAA tournaments. Me and my good old buddy Daryl Ray Dickey, who you know, former great coach in the coaching ranks of college, and his wife Tori, and basically we have been having a pretty good run in the NCAA, Dane. I don't want to brag about it, but we have had a good run.
When it comes to giving you a run for it, with down there on the weather side at Jim Bob-a-Lago, we are going to have some weather. This weekend is going to be almost pushing to 80, high 70s, right? So we're sort of competing on the good weather side for a change.
Well, yeah, but you're going to have like 50 mile an hour gust, I think, okay? You know, warm weather brings some weather. And so we're going to have great, maybe some warm days, but it's going to be so windy, you won't be able to shut your car door.
Action is heating up on the court for March Madness and the tournament, all that kind of stuff. And as the weather gets a little bit warmer, you know, baseball season is kicked off. People think of you, obviously, the career on the football side, and of course, a big supporter. March Madness is one of your favorite times of year on the sporting side. People don't always associate or identify you with baseball, but as hope springs eternal for all those teams in the major leagues, share with the listeners, are you a baseball fan? Do you have any baseball memories as a kid?
Yeah, I mean, I have 5 home runs in one game. That's a pretty big memory, okay? I mean, you know, Brett, I mean, you know, it's funny when people get on and they start reading about me and they do the Wikipedia and they go, wait a minute, you scored like 76 points in a football game, you know, basketball. Yeah, we talk about, well, I was a four-sport guy. I mean, we did track. We did baseball in between, track in between baseball, basketball, football. We did all the sports. I love all the sports. I grew up, our family had horses. We raced, you know, quarter horses. We raced in the All-American Futurity. There's not a sport that I don't really, well, my favorite sport right now is pickleball.
Well, you know, it's America's
the
favorite
number
sport.
The number one orthopedic cause of orthopedic injuries is pickleball right now. I mean, everybody like who wasn't an athlete. Okay, I'm going to get burned on this one so bad. But the fact that, you know, people are 69 years old and go, well, I've never played a sport in my life, but it looks like I can do that pickleball thing. Wrong.
Pickleball is sweeping the nation. It is one of those. It's just getting out there, just moving, right, Jim Bob? You got to stay active. As anybody, you know, gets a little bit older, you know, that's part of it, right? If you don't use it, you lose it. And people are using it to play pickleball.
Yeah, well, they're using that to go get orthopedic surgery. That's what my orthopedic friends tell me. It's a blown Achilles. I mean, you know, torn ACL, torn meniscus, you know, torn medial collateral, you know, shoulder injuries, wrist injuries, ankle injuries. I mean, you name it. These people are breaking it.
Jim Bob, we rarely delve into the conspiratorial, but are you saying that pickleball could be a plot for the medical community saying, like, hey, we need to do more surgeries. Let's you know, create a pickleball situation.
Well, you and I did a whole story about it, and we were even going to create the Pickleball Hall of Fame. But I think if we drill down, there's got to be some association with the guys who invented pickleball and orthopedic surgeons.
It's a natural progression. That's what it is. We got to get people out there voluntarily injuring themselves.
Is there anything in this world that's not a conspiracy theory today going on? I mean, in the horribly politically divided world, is there anything that's not got some conspiracy theory behind it? Pickleball, headlines tomorrow, you know, revealed on the Jim Bob Show, pickleball conspiracy, orthopedic surgeons getting rich.
Seriously. Well, people, who, if your team, right, your bracket is busted, your team has lost, you're probably thinking, maybe the other team was a little bit better. Maybe you weren't on quite the roll, or maybe they cheated and there was some conspiracy. Jim Bob, how is your bracket doing? I know, and for Wanna Parlay, you're betting all the different games, right? How's it going so far?
Well, it's going pretty good. I told you, you know, at the beginning of this, I love Duke. I loved Auburn, Houston. I mean, I told you, I said, I don't think we're going to have any, you know, Arkansas played really well the other night, and I was really happy to see Calamari have that team. And, you know, we've got season tickets. I'm right behind the bench there at Fayetteville with University of Arkansas, I mean, with one of our operations. And so I love going to Arkansas basketball. Anytime I'm sitting behind the bench of any team, I love going to them. I mean, boy, I tell you what, this NCAA season, though, I didn't think we were going to have any Cinderella stories. I said getting into the Final Four was going to be the big boy tournament. And, you know, it was going to be a Duke, Auburn, Houston, and I don't know, maybe Tennessee. I'm not for sure. I got to figure out how the bracket set up. I don't have the bracket in front of me, but I liked all of the big boys to make it to the Final Four.
We talked about sometimes you get on a roll. Cinderella stories, so identified with March Madness and just some of those compelling things that happened throughout the tournament. But we also talked about, and you recognized the value, which is, I think, maybe never more apparent than a situation like this with coaches. Coaches that have not only been successful, know how to coach teams through different situations, but have been there in those pressure situations that the tournament invariably brings. And so you've got a program like Duke is always right there. That just goes with the territory. You got Tom Izzo on the Michigan State side. People say, oh, he's only won one championship, but multiple Final Fours. This is a guy who knows what to do. Jim Bob, your thoughts on the coaching so far? Have there been games where you think the experienced coach came out on top?
Well, I like the Calamari-Rick Pitino matchup. That was great for basketball. But a week or so ago, when we were leading up to March Madness, we talked about what phases of building your bracket, you know, what were some of the rules. And one of the key rules was, who's been there before, as from a coaching staff perspective? I mean, a head coach who's led the team. And then, of course, you know, who's got the best guard play, having that exceptional guard play was important. And three-point shooting and hot shooting doesn't travel, but defense does travel. And so those were three really key important elements. And then, of course, you brought up, you know, who had the hottest cheerleaders as the fourth. I don't know if I believe that, but that was your point.
Well, I think anything you could do to get into, let's say, the head of the other team, and if you get them distracted, thinking about maybe, you know, dinner at Chili's afterwards with maybe those eligible cheerleaders and less time thinking about what's on the court, it's an edge.
Yeah, or you can get some really big guys, like some big, really fat guys, put them in fancy uniform and have them, you know, behind a free throw line doing cartwheels or something. That's a pretty big distraction.
Right, exactly. Distractions can come in many shapes and sizes and forms. Whatever you can do to do it. So talk about this before we end the segment. You know, you've got the Final Four. It is one of those premier events that happen in all of sports. It brings those final teams, and you've got your host cities. When we did the Super Bowl, we talked about some great host cities for all of those different things. Let's say it's the Super Bowl. Some places are a better fit than others. We got San Antonio. Your thoughts on San Antonio as really the host for the championship, the finale of college basketball?
Well, I love San Antonio. And as you know, in my USFL career days, I spent a couple years at San Antonio with the San Antonio Gunslingers. And so I lived down on the boardwalk. I mean, the old Alamo Stadium was just a hop, skip, and a jump. And basically, you know, I don't know that I was the most disciplined player. There were some days, like on a Tuesday and Wednesday, if we went out to Mama's and then Fizz Disco and then Midnight Rodeo and the Cowboy Bars, sometimes we would just drive to the stadium and we had a key and we would just come in at 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever it was, and just sleep in our locker room until the morning. And it was easier, okay? And it was easier and it kept you from getting fined. So that's what we did back in the old days. I mean, so there's probably some parents on here that are going, oh, man, let's not listen to this guy ever again.
No. Well, you know, you've got to enjoy life, right? And these are those moments. And this was a long time ago, right? And maybe it's a teachable moment of things maybe to do less of, you know, maybe less fun. But the city of San Antonio, for the people that come in to enjoy and experience not only the college basketball, but also the surrounding, you know, San Antonio as a host city, is there a lot of things to do? If you're not, you know, living the USFL lifestyle, staying up until four and sleeping in the locker room, it's got to be a major city, right? There's a lot of great food, maybe places to go and see.
Oh my God, the food's incredible. I mean, the Riverwalk is great. Surrounding communities. I mean, we used to float down the river and tube, and you know, of course, one of the tubes carried a big cooler of beer and everything, but that, you know, beside that, Dane, I mean, but no, there's a ton to do in San Antonio, and the weather's always great, and the weather's going to be great this time of year. But yeah, I'm a big supporter of San Antonio, and you know, like I said, the place is beautiful, the Riverwalk. You know, if you've never been to the Alamo, it's always a great piece of history to go through there. And it's just a wonderful city. I really do love it.
One of the big questions that people get, and as all those teams are playing to get that opportunity to be in the Final Four, to head to San Antonio, but for this weekend, people have been, you know, writing in, texting in, calling in, saying, well, what is a day? You know, Jim Bob has spent a lot of time in Florida, just enjoying, you know, the sunshine, and of course promoting as an ambassador, breaking out the Bandito. So what is the watching experience for the games this weekend for Jim Bob Morris? Will you be at a bar, you know, hanging out with, let's say, a Joe Namath, right? Or are you going to be at home at the Palatial, the compound, if you will, watching the games at home?
I was with Joe Namath last night. I've had enough of him. Him and his partner, Charlie. We were over at the Lucky Shuck and the Beacon. And, I just get tired of the whole celebrity deal, you know. And they, you know, of course, they're wanting me to go do this with them and that. You know, that gets old, Dane. And so, but no, I said, Joe Namath is such a great guy and a wonderful person. He was out last night, and we met the Lessing Group, Lessing.com. They're great people, but I've taken over some El Bandito Yankee for them. But, you know, the experience is that, well, I had Bill Moss and Dino Hackett, former All-Pros from Kansas City Chiefs, you know, opening weekend. That opening weekend, I mean, on the first night, they went through so many Jim Bobberitas. We went through, I think, 6 bottles of El Bandito Yankee between 6 people. That's kind of, you know, that's what I'm talking about. That's supporting the brand. We ride for the brand. You know what I mean?
With so many games out there, there's going to be winners, there's going to be losers, but you always win with the undefeated flavor of El Bandito Yankee Tequila. We're going to take a break, but keep it here on the Jim Bob Show, Game Day Edition.